Here with Agoge Fitness Systems and Mental Meatheads. I'm bringing you another one of our weekly interviews. Today I've got Tamara Cohen on the line. I'm really excited to bring her. She is the other half, or probably the founding half, of Asheville Strength. She is, I brought you Nick Horton last week, and true confession there. I didn't know who Nick was. I got turned on to Nick through my friend Chip Conrad, and over the past week, I've been real impressed with what Chip and Tamara both are doing up in Asheville. I hired them to be my weightlifting coaches, so I'm totally stoked about that. And I'm really excited to have Tamara on the line to talk with us today. Tamara, go ahead and say hey.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. During the break, we were talking, or before we started, you've got an upcoming project that I want to make sure that we cover. But before we get to that, I want to give you a chance to talk about your background and how Asheville Strength and Silent Conditioning came to be. and just give us your story.
Yes, the silent conditioning part is very important. We are going to make that t-shirt soon. Well, basically, I grew up playing competitive soccer, and I never lifted weights doing that outside of, like, leg pressing and whatever, you know, the good girl, bad girl machine, all those circuit-type machines at the gym. So I never lifted weights for sport. I did a bunch of sports. I was a cheerleader. I did gymnastics and softball, and then basically I graduated from college and probably took a little bit of a decline in terms of my overall fitness since I wasn't playing a sport. I still went to the gym. I did spin classes for a while. I was a teacher, and for some reason teachers like jazzercise, so I even did jazzercise. And then I had kids, and my daughter was born in 2004. So she's 8 now, and I pretty much exercised every single day throughout my pregnancy with her, and then she was born, and it kind of ground to a halt. I mean, I really will say that I tried a lot. At the time, I had a gym in my apartment complex, and she would scream the whole time while I was in there, and got a jogging stroller, got an exercise bike for the house. Then by the time my son came along, I figured it was probably hopeless. I don't know that I did much. And so for basically about 4 years, I wasn't really exercising at all. I had gained a considerable, you know, like, amount of weight. I lost all the weight from my pregnancies, but I gained that and then some back. So I was at the point when my son was about a year and a half old that I was just, you know, I was kind of in a funk, a little bit depressed, and I had recently moved to Asheville, wasn't sure that I really liked it here very much, and one of my friends who had known me since junior high was like, you just need to get back to the gym. Like, you need to go play a sport, go running, do something, because that's how you've always been, and you've just had 4 years without exercising, and, you know, that's what you need to do. And I will say, for any of the women who are watching, one of the issues with working out was that I nursed both of my kids, and they never took a bottle. And I nursed for 4 years and 9 months straight. So I nursed throughout my pregnancy with my son, and then I tandem nursed both of my kids for a year. So I really never left them for more than an hour at a time. So working out was really hard, and even when I went back to the gym, my son was still nursing. So
I need to interject real quick.
Yeah.
I'm father of three.
Yeah.
My wife nursed through all of my children's, you know, at least for about two and a half years for each one of them. That you nursed through your pregnancy.
Yeah.
That in my mind.
Together for a year.
Yeah. Okay. That qualifies you as a badass. Bar none, everything else that you do, because I watched my wife go through agony, you know, because she had to wean you know, my first daughter when she was pregnant with my second daughter, because they're just, you know, about midpoint. I'd probably say probably 3 months into the pregnancy, you know, our body was just rebelling, and it just felt so bad every time.
I don't know how I did it.
That is some serious, yeah, you've got some willpower. I just want to, I want to acknowledge that and throw that out there for you. So please, go ahead.
So, you know, basically that was like, it was a good time because my son was a year and a half, and so he wasn't nursing as often, and I was like, you know what, I can really do something. So I started off, this was in like the spring of 2009. I started off going back to running because I knew how to run because I played soccer. I never really enjoyed running, but I was like, okay, number one, running's free. Number two, I could kind of do it at any time of day, so it didn't matter. Like, the kid's schedule, whenever I could do that, that was fine. And my friend had me take a picture of myself. He's like, you never have to show this to anyone, but take a picture today so that you can see your progress. And when I took that picture, like, I truly never thought anyone was going to see it. The day I took that picture, I weighed 174 pounds. And I will say, like, I'm 5'8", so I graduated from high school and college weighing about 118. I was very, very skinny. But, like, being around 135 was probably, like, a healthy weight for me without any weight training, you know, when I got married and all of that stuff, even, like, around 150. So me at 174 without having done anything athletic, like, I was pretty heavy, and I looked at that picture, and I was like, I don't look like an athlete. Like, no one would ever see me and say, she does anything athletic, nor has she ever done anything athletic in her life. So that was kind of, like, my wake-up call. Not, I'm fat, because I knew what I weighed. Like, I weigh myself all the time. But, like, I don't look like an athlete. This is not who I am, because I always identified as being an athlete. So I started with the running, and having not run probably regularly in like almost 10 years and being a little bit overweight, immediately after like a month, my knees were just killing me. I had terrible patellofemoral syndrome. My doctor was like, you got to chill on the running. Find something low impact. You know, she's telling me to swim. I hate swimming. And it's actually like, where am I swimming? Freezing cold here. And so I just went, we had a membership to the Y. I went to the Y, and it was hard because my kids were little and they screamed through the child care stuff, but I would go do the elliptical rider and stationary bike and do some dumbbell stuff, and after a couple of weeks, I hired one of the personal trainers there. So I will say this is one of my things. When people bash, like, the Globo Gym or the personal trainer, like, If it really wasn't for that person, shout out to Jesse Hyder at the downtown YMCA in Asheville. Like, I don't think I ever would have done much more than going and being on the treadmill, the elliptical, or the bicycle. And he had me start doing basically some circuit training. I did my first power clean at the YMCA. So with one of those fixed bars, like the 25-pound like fixed bar, he had me doing hang power cleans. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I trained with him for like about 2 months, and I had this goal of getting back into a bikini for the summer. That was like my big goal. And the reason I picked him was because I thought that all the female trainers were too nice. Like, they would sit next to the girl on the treadmill and like hold her hand and like cry with her and be like, "It's okay that you're fat." I was like, "No, it's not." Like, he would yell at me. He'd be like, "Do you want to stay fat and out of shape?" You know, that's what I wanted. I will say I don't really relate to most female trainers very well. Now that I know a lot more, yes, but at the time I was like, there's no way I could train with a woman. And after like 2 months, he was like, "I'm going out of town for 2 weeks." And I was like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I was really still that uncomfortable in the gym with like even dumbbells and some of the body weight stuff that he had me doing, that I didn't think that I was going to be able to handle 2 weeks with him being on vacation. And it was getting to that cutoff time, like, of July 4th weekend when I said, this is going to be it. This is, like, I'm back in the bikini. And he said, there's a gym in town that's a CrossFit gym. And some of the stuff that I've been having you do is kind of like what they do in CrossFit. And I think, like, your personality would fit really well because they deal with a lot of people who are very type A personality or former athletes. So why don't you go check it out? And so the week he went on vacation, I called the CrossFit affiliate and ended up going over there and started working at a CrossFit. So I had a couple month time period of overlap where I was at CrossFit a couple days and still at the Y. And then by the time the fall rolled around, I was like, you know what? I just want to do CrossFit. So I had basically a year of doing CrossFit. In that time period, before I even started with the CrossFit, I think I'd lost like about 15 pounds. So I'd already lost a lot of weight. It was looking a lot better, just really happy with like what I was doing. Like so many other people, I started CrossFit and I ended up going strict paleo. And I got ridiculously skinny and lean. I mean, I was down at 132 pounds with like a six pack or an eight pack, like size zero, size two at 5'8". And, you know, I don't think anyone who saw me then would think like she doesn't look like an athlete. It was obvious that I did something. Although I probably looked like a lot more like a marathon runner than anyone who lifted weights. And I was like stronger than I had been. I had been, but I wasn't in relative terms strong then. And I don't know, after a year, I hurt my shoulder. Again, probably something that some people who follow CrossFit are familiar with, but I had a suspected flap tear in my left shoulder, and it forced me to take really like 3 months off of CrossFit. And I basically could deadlift and squat. So that's what I spent the summer doing in the summer of 2010. And I added like 50 or 60 pounds to both my deadlift and my squat. And the first time I went back to snatch and clean and jerk, I set like PRs without having touched, you know, any overhead movement in 3 months. And I was like, you know what? This is what it's all about. I hate running. I hate breathing hard. I hate all this other stuff that CrossFit likes. So I'm going to spend some time learning really a lot more about weightlifting. And so that's kind of how weightlifting started. I hooked up with Peter Haas, who was in Winston-Salem, and he was my first weightlifting coach for about 10 months. I commuted Asheville's about 2 hours and 20 minutes from his gym, so I drove every Friday for about 9 or 10 months to 4.5 hours round trip to train with him.
Wow.
And then, you know, basically at that point, I knew my goal was to open my own gym. Really, the biggest piece was, like, do I have, like, I don't really know what I'm doing as a coach because I haven't been lifting for very long. But on the other hand, there wasn't anyone else in Western North Carolina who was weightlifting. So all the people in CrossFit were asking me for help because I knew more than they did, at least. And that's kind of how the whole gym happened. You know, it was like, can I do this for a year and get enough people who want to come train with me that financially it's feasible if I'm not looking at, you know, a huge space and a ridiculous amount of equipment and stuff like that. And so Asheville Strength opened in June of 2011, so we're just about to have our 2-year anniversary. And that was also kind of the big change in my own training was I started working with Jim Mosier and he became my coach, and that's kind of what completely changed how I thought about Olympic weightlifting and training. And thank you. And my numbers just really went through the roof at that point. So that's where I am now. I mean, that's how I got into it. So I'm coming on 2 years of Asheville Strength, and Nick came on board a couple months ago, so I'm really excited. I think that's going to, all the things that I really wanted to do when I opened, but as like a single person, like a single owner with young kids, I just couldn't physically be in the gym that much. Having another person on board definitely helps with that, so I'm excited for what we're doing.
Cool, very cool. You have established yourself, at least in my experience, as a very strong female voice in weightlifting and in, I'll go ahead and say, just the fitness industry as a whole. Tell me about your perspective as a woman in this industry and whether it makes a difference or not.
You know, I'm not really sure where I fit in. I don't consider myself a feminist at all. Like, I make fun of that a lot, and I know I piss a lot of people off. But I really don't consider myself a feminist at all. I kind of feel like I've grown up always, like, kind of in the boys' club, especially with soccer. Like, depending where I lived and what team I was playing for, I always played on a boys' team because there weren't always enough girls. So in terms of sports, I've always been very comfortable, like, with guys. I certainly was not ever a woman. Like, I was very intimidated by the gym and weights, not because I was female, simply because I'd never actually used free weights before. Like, my whole, anytime I was in the gym, even in college, like, was always machines. So I know there are women who walk in and are like, oh, my God, this is dominated by men, and here's the guys over curling, and I don't, you know, I was never like that at all. And like I said, I felt a lot more comfortable with a male trainer because I'd always had male coaches. I don't think I ever had a female coach in any sport, you know, throughout my whole life. So I don't know. I'm not really sure, like, which group of people I would stick myself with. I hate this freaking strong as a new skinny nonsense because it's just so stupid because so many of those people are also skinny and then they're not related. Like, it's a great tagline, sell your t-shirt. It's the same with, like, lifting weights won't make you bulky. Yeah, it can. Lots of people think that I'm bulky, and lots of people thought that I was bulky when I was, like, a really lean CrossFitter, because it depends on your definition of bulky. So I kind of feel like lots of people in the fitness industry jump on whatever bandwagon they have, and I don't know that I have a particular bandwagon. Like, other than a lot of stuff is just yes. I don't know. My gym started off simply because the women who knew me, who a lot of them had done CrossFit, came to my gym. Like, my gym started off as about 90% female. And gradually we've added a lot more men, so now it's probably a 50-50 split. But for a while, the competitive weightlifting team was pretty much all women. And so, I don't know. I kind of find that people in general, but especially women, either really get me and like me from the beginning, or it's like, no, it's just not going to work. But since I have so many women who train with me, I guess that they at least tolerate me, if not like me. So I'm not really sure how I fit into the overall, like, women and strength type thing. I'm not really, like, one of the body image people. I have views on body image, but that's not my thing. You know, lifting weights is my thing. So I don't know.
No, I like that. There's a couple directions I want to go with this. One is that you touched on the whole strong is the new skinny, and this it's what I see as, like, this marketing hype that we're all scrabbling for a very small part of the overall population. There's, like, 15% of the total population that's actually involved in fitness. And so we all are sort of fighting for the biggest share of that tiny percentage. And so marketing becomes so important, and it becomes such a motivating force. And it sounds to me like that's kind of bullshit to you. Am I putting words in your mouth?
In terms of the strong and the new, is the new skinny being?
Well, in terms of marketing taking the predominant role in fitness in general.
I will say my perspective is very much changed having Nick come on board. Because as he would tell you, I was kind of running my gym as a charity. Like, those are his words, not mine. But, like, what my gym started as is, my gym started as, I need a place to train, you know, and I don't need to make a living off of this, although it would be nice to, like, make money and not, I can't afford to lose money. But, like, the difference between where you break even and actually have a paid profession, I'm a very good marketer. I've just never made money off of it. So he'll tell you, like, well, this was a charity, now it's a business, which is totally true. I just don't know that there is, for my physical gym space, any sort of marketing that I could do that would actually be better than having someone just physically come into the gym. Because frankly, we are not the gym who is looking for like 200 members. You know, it's not like a CrossFit that can have 150, 200, 250 members and run through group classes of 20 and 30 people. You know, we're small space. Our focus is Olympic weightlifting. We have some powerlifting. We have some fat loss clients. But, you know, you get 20 people in the gym, and there's blood flying because people are fighting over which bar and which rack they want. So it's a certain type of personality that walks into that space and, like, yes, this is what I've been looking for. And I also recognize that as a very, you know, I wouldn't say everyone at my gym has the same personality, but there's definitely something personality-wise that makes people want to train with me, because I'm frankly not always the nicest person, and you know, it's my gym and I make that very much known, and if you don't like the music, that's tough, and you're going to have to tolerate how I train and how I talk to you, and for a lot of people that's just not going to fly. So my personal views on marketing are kind of like, you either like me or you don't, you know. So like Nick will joke, like, it's, you know, good cop, bad cop, because he very much doesn't piss people off as much as I do, you know, and I'm just like, whatever, I don't care. So I don't know. I mean, for our online business stuff, I think that it helps me to take marketing a little more seriously, because people don't get to know me personally in that same way. So they're going to have seen something that we've put out there that conveys the same message without them being in the physical space.
Yeah, I think I misspoke a little bit. It's not, I think, from my perspective, the marketing so much as it is what has become the prevailing paradigm for how you market. And the prevailing paradigm is really sex appeal. It all comes down to, we're going to make you pretty. And as, you know, as a father of daughters, that just doesn't really sit well with me.
Yeah, so I think my big thing with that is, like, there's the backlash for me of it becoming that it's never okay to have it be about aesthetics. And that's frankly just not true to me. You know, I don't, like I said, you know, I started off running and thinking that I was going to run a 5K and that I was going to be happy if I broke 35 minutes, okay? So you get all the people who are like, oh, if you just run 5Ks recreationally, you suck, you know. Or if you go train at a Globo gym with a personal trainer and do curls, you suck, you know. If you're a bodybuilder, you just train to look good, then you suck. And there's supposed to be this, like, well, you can only do functional fitness, or you can only do powerlifting, or you can do weightlifting and play a sport. And that I definitely think is bullshit. Like, so on one hand, do I like the idea that there's a lot of marketing out there that says we're going to make look good? No. But on the other hand, do I recognize that wanting to look good is a perfectly fine goal if that's your goal? Like, sure. Because when I went back to the gym, it was not because I thought I want to be a competitive Olympic weightlifter. I looked in the mirror and I was like, I do not look like an athlete. So maybe I didn't think, like, wow, I'm fat, although, like, I was. But for me, there was a definite body type in my head that I associated with being an athlete or being a fit person, and I didn't look like that. So I wanted to look like that. Did I think that I was probably going to be where I am now in terms of how I look? No. But I've basically, I kind of support, like, keeping your own goals your goals, like Dan Johnson, like, keep the goal. So if that's to look better, then great, but also to recognize that what you think in your head you want to look like may not actually be what you, number one, end up looking like, and number two, what you end up wanting to look like as you kind of get into the fitness industry or the strength industry or whatever it is. So, yeah, the marketing with the, like, skinny people who all have ripped abs, I'm not so much into that because I don't look like that right now, but I'm not sure how I feel about it as a mom with, like, a young daughter, and I don't know that I get as pissed off as some people about this whole idea that our society likes skinny people. Well, you know, we have too many fat people, So it's like, you know, fat people die. I mean, everyone dies, but like, it's healthier to be skinnier than obese. So yeah, there's that middle ground, and there's those studies with BMI that show like skinniest isn't a healthy either. But like, when you walk around and you see people who are 350 or 400 pounds walking around, like, that's obviously not healthy. So getting skinnier is an okay goal.
So more a pursuit of health and happiness than I think the thing that that I see is Birmingham, oddly enough, is has an affluent aspect to it, and so my start in the gym industry was as a personal trainer, and was working largely with trophy wives, and that ridiculous aspect of the aesthetic, where you know you're not training for your own personal satisfaction, but you're training for some external aesthetic, some externally perspective that's being placed upon you that you're trying to achieve for acceptance as opposed to your own personal happiness.
Well, and I guess my view on that is that I kind of let that be someone else's bandwagon. Like, changing society's views about, like, self-worth and what makes you feel good and stuff like that, like, I don't even go there. Like, I might chime in on a Facebook post if the mood strikes me, but like, that's just not my thing, you know. I'm like, whatever, you know, you want to do that. I can't say what's going to make you happy, and I actually don't even know if you actually are happy. There's plenty of people walking around that I think are happy that are probably miserable. So, you know, if you want to be a trophy wife and go to the gym and do your little exercises and have your boob job, then, you know, that's not really my fish to fry, I don't think, I would say.
Cool. What does make you happy?
What makes me? Well, barbells do. Most days. I mean, in terms of life or in terms of the fitness industry or
in terms of life in general, just, you know, life. What makes Tamara Cohen happy? What's cool for Tamara?
Nick's over here going, "You're a handsome man." which, okay, yeah, that would definitely be true. I mean, I think for me, like, and I, like you were saying with your wife and the breastfeeding, like, one of the things that I never thought about myself was, like, that you just totally change your identity to be a mom. So, like, my kids are, you know, it's like, my kids are, like, everything. Like, my whole day revolves around them and their schedule and everything like that. So, you know, definitely just, I have the coolest conversations with them. As much as they make me want to tear my hair out sometimes, it's like, sometimes they're just like, God, wow, you know, like, I actually gave birth to these things and now they're giant, you know? Yeah. So my kids definitely, you know, make me happy. And I mean, I don't know, I really, in terms of like passions that I've had in my life, I will say that I played soccer for such a long time, but when I was burnt out, I was done. And I'm like, I don't care if I ever go play soccer again. The way that I feel about lifting is totally different because I actually feel like I hate it a lot of the time, but that's like being in the gym is what really makes me happy. Like, just that space, you know, I'm the person who I'm like, we just got new bumpers for the house, and I'm like, oh, it's going to smell like bumper plates in here. Like, I just, you know, I don't know. I was never expecting that. So, and definitely coaching. Like I say, like, I kind of got into coaching by default. And this is part of my issue with, like, the whole Olympic weightlifting world, is that if I lived somewhere where there was a coach who'd been coaching for 10, 20, or 30 years, obviously I would have worked with that person, and I'd probably be training at their gym right now. But it's such a small world, and there was no one in this part of the state doing that. So I was learning to lift and then kind of learning how to coach at the same time. So what really makes me happy is seeing the progress that my lifters have made. And I think that I'm actually pretty good at being self-reflective about my own progress. Like, I'll get in a funk where I'm like, I'm not making any progress. But that's one of the reasons I keep an online training log, and it has every single workout that I have done since 2009. so that I can go back and remind myself. And so as a coach, I think that's what makes me happy is, like, when people get frustrated, getting them to see where they were 6 months ago or where they were a year ago. And then most of the time they're like, wow, I really sucked a year ago. You know, look how much better I am now. So, you know, now that I've had people who are, have been lifting for me for 2 years, like, especially since some of them were doing other things before that they thought were working, and now they see how far they've come in 2 years, like, that makes me happy. Like, just walking into my gym when it's totally packed and seeing everyone doing their thing, my whole goal, one of my issues with CrossFit from a personal standpoint, and this has to do with where I train, because I realize all CrossFit gyms are different, but, like, I wanted people to know how to walk in, load their own bar, and do their own damn workout without me having to tell them, like, how to warm up, how to, like, know what bar to use, how to, like, solve problems on their own in the middle of a workout. And so when I walk in and everyone's like, this is, you know, this is our gym, we know what to do, you know, maybe Tamara's going to yell at me because I did something wrong or tell me to do a rep over, but, like, they really take ownership for their own workout, and it's, like, personal responsibility and, like, personal responsibility about their own success. Like, that's what really makes me happy, because I didn't have that in the beginning. Like, I needed somebody to tell me what to do, and I very quickly saw that, like, sometimes the person telling me what to do didn't know what the hell they were talking about. So I want all of my lifters to kind of feel like, okay, you know what, I do know how to do this on my own. I like having a coach. I need a coach for a lot of reasons, but it makes me happy when they're like, ah, I totally can do that by myself.
I like that. That's really cool. I think one of the mistakes that that I made in my gym was to bring too much of the personal training into it, and so I have clients now who are too timid to take their own direction, and they're too timid to take control. I'm like, you've been doing this for years. You know what to do. Just go do it. So I'm going to take a cue from you on that one and try to instill a little more self-confidence and you know, just let them help them figure it out. Cool. I think I heard Nick last week say something about you do kids classes at your gym. Is that right?
Yes. So we had a once-a-week kids class going for the last year or so, and it was basically at the time when we started, our youngest lifter was actually still two. So we started off with a group of kids that were ages 2 to 9, and it was an Olympic lifting class. So both of my kids lift and have done multiple meets. So it was basically about 45 minutes of snatch and clean and jerk, which meant that we started with either empty PVC, weighted PVC, or the 5 kilo bar, and they all learned how to snatch first. They all learned how to squat, moved on to jerks, and then finally cleans. So over the course of the year, we had some kids who got, you know, pretty good. So for the summer, we're trying to do a two-day-a-week camp. So we're kind of kicking off marketing for that, because my goal would be to have a whole team of youth lifters. We've had two teams compete for us so far. Then my two kids have lifted. And then most of the other kids are either still, you know, my 8-year-old is bigger than a lot of 12-year-olds, so my kids are bigger. So some of our even 4- and 5-year-olds, like, they look like babies to me. They're not even strong enough to, like, move the 5-kilo bar yet. So I would love to, like, really grow that into, you know, an older elementary school, middle school, like, lifting team. And, in fact, I help coach PE at my kid's school, and it's middle schoolers, and all of the boys have been begging me to learn how to bench or to bench press, so we did that this morning, and that's, you know, I'm like, this is the perfect group, you know, middle school boys who, for some reason, still think I'm cool enough to, like, lift, you know, at some point, I don't think they're going to think I'm cool enough, because I'm, like, probably older than some of their moms, but that age group, like, to really get them lifting, I think that's you know, when you think about helping American weightlifting and really growing the sport, like, it doesn't help us become better as a country in weightlifting to recruit a bunch of people who are 25, 30, 35, 40. Countries that are really good have people lifting from the time that they're a lot younger. So, sure, we're never going to be a communist country, but if we get more 8, 9, 10, 12, even 14, 15-year-olds lifting, then that's going to help grow the sport more than anything. So that's kind of my long-term dream, is to have, like, a huge team of youth and, you know, junior lifters. So
that's really cool. I've been working with my daughters a little bit, the younger two. The oldest is 16. She's way too cool for school. She's not interested in that. But the other two come to the gym with me, and they're really digging it. Talk about growing the sport. I've heard you make reference to that several times. So talk about what that means to you.
Okay.
And so
I guess if I have a bandwagon, this is it. in terms of things that really piss me off, and this is something that Nick and I probably are very much on the same page. I really feel like the whole elite attitude in Olympic weightlifting in this country is just so much shit. And then, of course, the people who do that will say, we are not elitist. But the way I look at it is, I've used this example before. Like, if you drive by your local park on a Saturday, you're going to see a whole bunch of guys out there playing pickup basketball. You know, some teens, some guys in their 20s, some guys in their 30s, some guys in their 40s, just like doing it for fun. And no one stands around going, oh my God, look how horrible his technique is. That guy has the crappiest jump shot I've ever seen. Like, it just doesn't happen. It's just seen as like a normal thing for people to go play basketball for fun, even if they suck, you know? Same thing as, you know, I think you saw part of the argument the other day on Facebook where people were like, how many good lifters have you produced? So my daughter is doing track and field through Parks and Rec. And when I signed her up, I didn't ask for the resume of the coach who's coaching her in Parks and Rec track and field. I wasn't like, how many athletes have you sent to the Olympics? Like, are you qualified to coach my 8-year-old in track and field? Like, no, nobody does that, okay? Like, nobody does that. In any other sport, when you sign your kid up for the county soccer team, you're not like, how many scholarships has this kid, you know, this team gotten? Or so I think that we just need to start seeing weightlifting more like that. Frankly, because my goal isn't actually to make the U.S. number one in weightlifting. I don't give a shit about that. If I ever have an athlete who has the talent and the inclination to want to end up on the podium at Worlds or Olympics, like, great. But that's not my number one thing. I do this for fun and because I love it, and the average person that I coach is never even going to have that goal or have the time to train like that. So if we start seeing weightlifting as just another sport that any kid or any adult would play for fun, that whole elitist attitude of, like, how long have you been coaching and how many lifters have you taken to nationals, is just a bunch of crap. Because, frankly, there's a handful of coaches in this country who have put athletes on international teams or sent athletes to the Olympics. We don't do that in any other sport. We recognize that there are rec leagues, that there are developmental teams, developmental coaches, and it's all fine. And somehow in weightlifting, that just, I don't know, I feel like no one ever talks about that. And, you know, I'm okay. If I never have anyone walk into my gym and say, I want to go to the Olympics, I'm fine with that. You know, if I never, ever have a lifter who ends up on the podium at nationals, which I don't think is true. I think that we will definitely have lifters on the podium at nationals. But if that didn't happen, I'm not going to think that my whole coaching career was like a sham, because that's not why I do it.
Cool. Very cool. I like that. What are you reading right now?
What am I reading? Well, I can show you what I'm supposed to be reading. Right here. Nick's laughing. Okay, so this is what I'm supposed to be reading, because he made fun of me. So, if anything, I am not a science. I'm not a science person.
In all fairness, look, I'm a massage therapist. I've gone through anatomy. I've done anatomy. Grey's Anatomy is the worst anatomy text to try to
remember. I've bought.
Agreed.
I bought Netter's coloring book to do with my kids because they don't want to do it with me.
That's
so I have not actually started Grey's Anatomy. I bought it because it was on clearance at Barnes & Noble, and I said, I'm just going to buy this because it was like, you know,
with good
the
reason.
Bargain book for $7.98. And Nick's like, don't waste your money. You're never going to do that. It's just a terrible book. And I was like, just to spite you, I'm going to buy it. And I will say, like, that is totally what I'm supposed to be reading right now. I kind of have, well, right, so the book that I am reading is actually, I'm reading Star Wars, the actual novel, with my 6-year-old, which is not easy for a 6-year-old. Like, I mean, I read kids' books with him, but, like, apparently at some point they took the whole movie and, like, wrote it out as a book. I didn't even know this. And he saw it, and he thought, yes, I want to, you know, read it. And it's like an actual novel. It's not like one of those, like, kids' books that's a takeoff of the movie. So I'm going through that really slowly because I'm reading that aloud with him. And I will say some of it, I'm like, this is totally not appropriate for a 6-year-old. But, yeah, I just reorganized our bookshelf actually this morning. So I have a long list of books that I'm supposed to be getting through, including some that we just bought the other day at the thrift store. So, but yeah, Grey's Anatomy is totally going to happen. Just fight Nick, because I said I was going to do it.
Well, good luck with that one. I wish you the best.
I usually read a lot more fiction than things like that. So.
Nice. Cool. You know, as much being a Star Wars geek as I am for being of my generation, I saw it in the theater when I was 6 back in 77, and I wouldn't have let my 6-year-old watch that. There's no way. I don't know what my parents were thinking.
Yeah.
Cool. So tell me about Iron Athena. Let's talk about this for a little bit.
Oh yeah. So Stephanie Vincent, she is a CrossFitter who also weightlifts. She has a blog called Radical Hate Loss, and she focuses on a lot of body image stuff and women in lifting and things like that. And she interviewed me probably almost 2 years ago now, because it was sometime right around when my gym opened. And so I got to know her. I think I actually met her originally through the CrossFit discussion boards when I was a CrossFitter. And we just, like, kept in touch. And then she randomly also started working with Nick, you know, before I even knew him, I think, on some Olympic lifting stuff. And she and I had kind of kicked around with a couple other women, a kind of a body image type group, of, like, what can we really do in terms of talking about body image and women in the strength industry and fitness industry and things like that. And that's, like I said, that's not really my thing. Like, I get involved in those discussions, but it's not my thing, and it's more of, like, her thing and some of those other women. And out of that came this discussion that maybe we're not really talking about body image. Maybe we're just talking about women in strength. So she got together just a really great group of women, one of whom is Jillian Mounsey's, now Jillian Ward, who I know because she's also a starting strength coach, and she relocated to North Carolina out on the coast recently. And we are going to head out to Jillian's place, which is Crystal Coast Strength and Conditioning, in July, and have a pre-conference for what we want to be a huge women's strength conference eventually. So I think the tentative title is, like, Women Athena, Women of Strength, or something like that. Or, you know, there's too many words for me to remember exactly how we term it. But we've got, you know, a really good group of women who've been lifting for a while, who come from all different backgrounds, from powerlifting, from weightlifting, CrossFit. I think we may even have, like, martial arts, gymnast. Jillian has a background in gymnastics before she, you know, started lifting. So we're all going to hang out for the weekend and talk about how to put together a really kick-ass women's strength conference. So I'm super excited about that because I actually haven't been to her place. I joke, she was in Virginia before, and I say, like, you moved to North Carolina, and you're actually farther away from me now in North Carolina than you were when you were in Virginia, which I think it's about the same distance. But I'm in the mountains, she's all the way out on the coast, and so that's going to be our hookup place. But I don't know. I'm just excited to spend the weekend with a lot of strong women, most of whom are probably a lot stronger than I am, and talk about ideas and a bunch of other women there are gym owners also, so I think we're going to have some discussion there. I'm trying to get a couple of my athletes to go with me, so I think there should be some good things coming out of that. We're doing that the weekend of July 20th, so.
Cool. Yeah, there's mastermind-type meetings, there's abilities to sit down with your peers, and especially, like you mentioned, working with people who are further along the path than you are. Can be real energizing and really psych you up for coming back and building your own work. So that'll be fun. Cool.
Yeah. Just to plug Jillian, I was actually reading her log right before we started this call, and I was sitting here like mumbling under my breath the next. I'm like, why can't I be that strong? You know, it was like she just benched 225 for a set of 10 and then shoulder pressed 170 and squatted 315 for a set of 5. And I'm like, come on, let me at least, you know, I'm like, at least make sure my bench stays within half of what her bench is. But, yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Nice. Is there anybody else that you look to in the strength world for your own inspiration?
I don't know that I have any particular, like, lifters that people would know. Quite frankly, I would probably say the people that inspire me the most are the other women at my own gym. I think sometimes because they don't recognize, like, how much progress they've really made. We have this ongoing thing. We have one lifter named Chelsea, and the whole thing of the gym is try to be better than Chelsea because, you know, it's like she can do ridiculous ab work. Like she was a gymnast and just like, you know, 100 push-ups, like all these crazy things that like we just get into these contests where it's like ridiculous. She'll start doing these sit-ups and I can like barely do like one sit-up on the plate without weight, you know. So, you know, it's just kind of cool like seeing people be good at all sorts of weird things. Well, she's a great squatter and good at snatch and clean and jerk. One of my lifters, Miriam, I want to say she just turned 54, but, you know, she is 54, she has 4 kids, she claims that she's 5'1", but that might be on her tippy toes, you know, she deadlifts double body weight for, like, a triple, you know, she squats, like, 230, you know, she's someone who I met, like, right after I started CrossFit, who, again, hadn't done anything athletic in 30 years. And now she just, like, totally kicks ass in the gym, you know. My lifter, Amy, is, like, little, tiny, 48-kilo lifter. She was a ballet dancer, and when she said she wanted to be a weightlifter, like, I think she just got a whole bunch of, like, shit from people in CrossFit who she knew, because it's hard to be good at CrossFit if you only weigh 105 pounds. But, you know, weightlifting is a weight class sport, and she ended up going to the American Open last year, you know. So it's kind of cool to see, like, when she started, she was snatching 22 kilos. And now she's basically snatching body weight. So
that's awesome.
I think just like seeing what everyone else has been able to do, and it also, since I see them on a regular basis, it helps me keep perspective about like remembering where I was, especially when I get pissed off. So, you know, and we've got a bunch of new people, and just, I don't know, I think probably most of all, I would say definitely inspired by the women in my gym. Not only the women, I will give props to the men also, but while we're on the topic. Yeah. We have some badass men at my gym too, so
nice, cool. Couple questions before we end. The balance that you strike, you've got I asked Nick this. You run a gym, you've got your online business, and on top of that you've got 2 kids. How do you balance all that? How does that work out?
The last, like, 6 months has been really interesting. Just from a personal life standpoint. I mean, I would say I've kind of shifted my focus a little bit. Previous to like January, my whole focus was really on my own training. And that is really why my gym started. Because my goal was to go to the American Open last year. And so that was like, that's the goal, and everything else kind of is secondary to it. So, you know, after that, okay, the goal was met, and now I've been like working on my own lifting and rehabbing some things that I needed to fix with my own lifting. So that's, it's not that I'm not taking that as seriously. It's just that my focus kind of shifted, and I was like, I know I can stay strong and do things a little bit differently and not stress out so much in the same way. Because kind of right now, like what we're doing with the gym and the seminars that we're doing and Growing Weightlifting Academy and the other stuff that we have going on, if I do that first and I don't get as much training done, like I'm kind of okay with that right now. And it's not that I don't still have time to train. It's just that, you know, that's definitely taken kind of the front seat for now. And then it is true, like for me, my whole day does really revolve around like my kids. So that is always number one, and whatever I get done around that is kind of like, okay, you know, great. I only have one evening when I'm at the gym usually, so you know, what I get done at the gym is happens during the day while they're in school, and then once they're not in school, it's kind of like some days no work gets done until after they go to bed, and some days a little bit gets done. So I don't know. I always feel like I'm missing hours in the day. I'm like, there's got to be more time than what there is. But it's getting better. It's kind of just adjusting to a new schedule in the last 6 months. But it's definitely working. It's just some days I'm like, everything's fine. And the next day I'm like, oh my God, what are we doing? We're so behind. So, you know, I think that's probably how most people feel.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that for sure.
And that, and again, I will say, Nick will disagree with me. This is another reason not to have a blog. Because if you have a blog, people expect you to post, you know. You're obligated to that as something that you do. Whereas with Facebook, it's just like, whatever. I can say, you know, it takes 2 seconds to write a Facebook post. And sometimes I can just write a Facebook post that is going to piss everyone off, and then I leave, and I go away for a couple hours, and I come back. So I don't spend, like, Nick spends an extraordinarily, like, large amount of time writing compared to what I do. Because frankly, if I wrote a quarter of what he did, it would take me 10 times as long. So I try to avoid the writing for fun piece of things.
Cool. Two more questions. What do you listen to in the gym?
Oh, God. Okay, so our newest thing is gospel. I'm a huge Tupac fan. I mean, I have been forever. So, Wonder Why They Call You Bitch is actually my PR song, and Nick told me that I was relying too much on music when I lifted. I should know how to lift and it's quiet. So, we decided we were going to listen to gospel the other day to get in a different mood, because he doesn't want me angry when I lift. So, we listen to literally everything. Except for opera. I don't know if he's listening to opera. I don't listen to opera or classical in the gym. I know he will put classical on. We listened to Miles Davis the other day, but I would say it kind of depends on the group of people, but like the top choices are going to be Tupac, Pantera, Avenged Sevenfold. Not all of this is my music. It's just like goes by what people want. Like Rage Against the Machine, and then whatever like top like pop, hip-hop, rap is like on the radio. You know, we've got like the whole Kesha playlist, Flo Rida, Pitbull, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we tend to put Pandora on, although I have a huge iTunes list. And then basically, if I want to listen to a song on repeat, everyone just suffers. Because like the other day I had a PR jerk and it's like, sorry, but you really are going to hear this Tupac song like 20 times in a row. So this is why it's my gym. Because I can do that. So if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Cool. What do you listen to when you're not in the gym?
I mean, I we'll put Pandora on. If I'm working, I actually, we were just talking about this yesterday. If I'm actually working, I like quiet. I think it's because I'm not very good at multitasking. I'm way too easily distracted. So if I'm in serious work mode, I would probably rather not listen to anything than have music on. But like, I drive a lot, because I, especially just driving the kids back and forth and driving back and forth to the gym. So I have Sirius XM on my car, so I kind of go back and forth between like the top 40 kind of pop stations and then Hip Hop Nation. So then it all depends. I had taken Hip Hop Nation out of the like circulation for a while, and then I put it back on the other day and I wasn't thinking about it. And the next thing, my son is in the back seat repeating, because I forgot that's not a censored station. So he's like, "Mom, he just said," and I'm like, "I know. Let's just go back." Station that bleeps everything out. So, but yeah, I mean, I can listen to anything. I even like country, you know. So I'm probably the least picky about music in the gym, except for when it's like time for me to listen, I want that one song. But
it's funny, when I do these interviews, country music comes up a lot. I find that a lot of the trainers that I talk to, actually, when they're not training, will listen to country music. But for me, country is a very, more than any other genre, that one has some very real distinctions. There's old school country. That's, you know, Roy Acuff and Buck Owens. And then there's the classic era, which is, you know, God rest his soul, George Jones and you know, that school. And then there's this newer country that, you know, for me, new country is Dwight Yoakam, so I don't know what this new stuff is.
I probably don't know much of country in the last 10 years, because, like, I was a huge Garth Brooks fan, and, like, I saw him in concert, and so, you know, anything, like, post 1999, I probably don't know a whole lot of, but we have plenty of Garth and like some Trisha Yearwood and Reba and Alabama and all of that, like, on the iTunes playlist. And I was actually surprised. I was playing a couple of Garth Brooks songs the other day, and like three people in the gym didn't know what that was. And when they said, "Who is this?" and I said, "Garth," someone said, "Garth who?" And I was like, "What?" Like, song on and someone says, "Who is this?" You say Garth, and they're like, "Garth who?" So yeah, I don't know.
very cool. So generally when I quiz up these interviews, I try to just end with this question. It is, if I'm in the Asheville area and I want to come train at Asheville Strength and Silent Conditioning, how do I get in touch with you guys? How does that work?
Our website is AshevilleStrength.com, so you can go there. We also have a Facebook page. And, you know, Ben usually calling me, or, well, I'll say texting me is probably better than calling me. I never, ever hear my phone ring when I'm actually in the gym, but I do check my text messages all the time, or sending me an email. And, you know, we get a lot of people in just to lift once if they're visiting, or people in town, you know, Asheville vacation hotspot. So, you know, I just tell people, give me a call and we'll figure out when you can come in.
Nice. Very cool. Tamara, I really appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Well, I've got to get to the gym because I have a prescribed workout.
You have a new workout to do.
Yes, I do. And I'm excited to get to it. So I hope you guys have a great afternoon.
All right. You too.
See you soon.
All right. Thanks.